Welcome, welcome, welcome to the best 5-minute wine podcast. From the seed to the glass, wine has a past. Your host, Forrest Kelly, looks for adventure at wineries around the globe. After all, grape minds think alike. Let's start the adventure. Here's your host, Forrest Kelly.
So I'm never trying to hate on Veuve Clicquot. It is fine. It is a good champagne. There's nothing wrong with it. It is just that you are also paying for, like anything else, like a lot of other consumer products, you're paying, there is some quality there, but the price is inflated because you're also paying for brand, right? So there are a lot of champagnes at that price point or lower that are higher in quality, which would be true of almost any product, right, when you're dealing with a brand name.
What misconception about champagne are you trying to correct? I didn't know there was any misconceptions, but this, being in the industry, I'm sure that you run across people where you have to say, oh, time out here, points you in the right direction on that thought.
Yeah, there are a couple areas where it's people don't understand or have misconceptions when it comes to sparkling wine and champagne. Is one is the amount of it that's available. Like I was saying, there's thousands and thousands of producers out there. You know, it's really hard to find them. It's really hard to know what they are. And on top of that, most people are buying brand names at a grocery store, like whether you live near a Safeway, a Giant, or Publix, whatever's in your area, or Whole Foods. Those are mass-produced brands, and I'm not saying they're bad, and that they're not, but there's a difference in taste when you have one of those brands versus a more boutique and artisanal bottle. And the example I often use is a farmer's market. You go to a farmer's market, you pick up some strawberries or a peach. You know what they taste like. You have a bite of it, and it's just, oh my God, these are so much better than what I get in the store. Why can't I find these? It's kind of the same thing when it comes to champagne and sparkling wine. You go to a smaller farmer and you're just getting at a quality level that exceeds what people's expectations may be based on what they're used to having.
Now, your credentials and things, I don't have it in front of me, but some of the things that you were listing on your resume, could you tell me a little bit about those?
So there's some basic wine certifications that I have. There's Wines WSET is a global certification for wine professionals, and there's four different levels, and I've finished level 3 with that one. And then I'm also what's called a CSW, which is a Certified Specialist of Wine, which is a different program. And I'm currently just about to finish my Master of Champagne program as well. So a lot of studying. A lot of these courses are thousands of dollars and take many, many hours and hours and months of studying to get all the material down. I mean, for some of these, if depending on the level of knowledge you have coming into it, it can take you 6 months to a year of studying before you can take the exam and feel confident passing it.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of pressure when it's just exam time. You said that you've traveled to Champagne multiple times. Now, most of our listeners, and me included, have never been to that region. Can you kind of take the mentally, just kind of close your eyes and just take us there when you get there?
It's a beautiful area. It can be very gray in the wintertime, and the spring and the fall, there's a lot of cloud cover, but in the summertime, it is beautiful. It's wine country. I mean, it's like many other areas, whether you're in California or in Italy or in other areas of France, right? It's just, you know, the rolling hills and the beauty of the lines of grapes in the vineyards. It's always just a beautiful place to be when you're in wine country, pretty much anywhere. There's just a little extra specialness when what you're drinking there happens to also be really good champagne.
The thing that I would look forward to if I visited that area is just the overall personality of people and the quality and their presentation of themselves and just the commonality of trying to reach something on a higher level.
Yeah, it's very different when you're in a region, like an actual specific region. Like, I'm sure there are other ones that exist in the world as well, but in the Champagne region where everyone is connected in some way, shape, or form to Champagne, right? I mean, you're not just a vineyard that produces grapes. There's the farmers and the producers, and then there's the businesses that supply the parts and machinery and things for them. And then there's all the different aspects that go into it. And a lot of that is made and done and produced all within that region. So there is a different mentality and culture in that sense, that it's a sounds a little cheesy, isn't it? Like the Musketeers say, you know, what? All for one, one for all.
Thank you for listening. This episode of the Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast was produced by iISM. If you like the show, please tell your friends and pets and subscribe. Until next time, pour the wine and ponder your next adventure.
Hi, before you go, we have exciting news.
The Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast has teamed with a breakthrough technology
and added a new feature on our website
that's bound to elevate your podcast experience.
Here is where we need your help. Trying to remember something from an episode?
Don't worry.
Search for it and we will find it for you. Have you ever thought you could just ask questions and chat about the episodes as if you were talking to me?
Well, now you can. That's right. Our episodes are now interactive and they're waiting to have a conversation with you.
Jump into a chat with our podcast and let's get the conversation started. Try it out and tell us what you think.
Click on the banner at the top of the website, thebestwinepodcast.com, to try it.